Both Mary and Martha ask a question that I think every one of us have asked at some point in our life. It's that if question of God. Both Mary and Martha say, Jesus, had you been here, if only you had been here, something different would have happened. And I think if all of us are honest with ourselves, at some point in our lives, we've asked that question of God. If God, it's to say, if only God, you were with me, whatever happened would not have happened. If only you were with my loved one, if only, if only, if only. And if the story only gave us the if only, then we might not understand the power of God. But I want us to take a moment this morning. Take a moment. You had a piece of paper inside your bulletin. Maybe you saw this. And this is one of those times that I'm going to talk, but if you have stuff to write, you can write while I'm talking, and you won't get in trouble. Other days I might call you out, but today you won't get in trouble. Okay? One of the things that I have recognized in these past weeks, if you've read anything I've said, if you've listened to reflections that I've done, you understand that I recognize that we're all grieving something. Some of us can name specifically what it is that we're grieving. Some of us maybe aren't quite there yet, haven't had that kind of figuring out what it is that we're grieving. And as a society, grief right now is hard. Grief is hard because on one level, grief has been made political. The number of deaths because of COVID is a number that gets debated and gets argued about and all those things. So then all of a sudden, that grief becomes political. But what that doesn't account for is the person whose loved one died. Guess who it's not political for? The one who's actually grieving the person who has died. I also believe as a society, we tend to allow for grief of some things, and we say, well, you shouldn't grieve about other things. The truth is, you can be grieving any number of things. You can be grieving things that may seem insignificant to someone else. Maybe you're grieving the fact you didn't get to be at a grandchild's birthday party, or you have a grandchild or a great-grandchild that you haven't had a chance to meet yet because of all of the things that are going on. You can grieve that. That's okay to grieve that. There are some of you that I know that love to travel, that love to go on cruises, and you haven't been on a cruise in 2 years, and you're grieving that. You miss that. That's okay. I'm giving you permission today to grieve whatever it is that you are feeling. Because when we grieve, then we have an opportunity to heal. When we grieve, we have an opportunity to hear the promise that God makes to us in our grief. When we grieve, we have an opportunity to move at some point, when that time is right, to move from sorrow to joy. But for each of us, for whatever the grief may be, for whatever is happening, this may take any amount of time. And so as those names were read this morning, as these candles were lit, it would seem to me that there's probably no one here that even if none of these names may be connected to you specifically, you didn't have a name in your own heart that you are remembering in this time, someone that you have lost. As I set up this table earlier this week, as I counted out the number of candles to put on the table, I don't know that I've ever put that many candles on this table. And it was kind of one of those moments, Amber would call it a God wink. I had one spot. I had one spot for a candle open this morning when I got here. And it was after I got here that I found out that Martin had died. It felt like, you know, Martin, even his work pants had a crease in them, that he couldn't bear that there was a hole there. It wasn't balanced. So, Martin, you're there, filling that gap that we all feel. in our hearts. So write down whatever it is you're grieving. And even if you think somebody else would judge you for it being insignificant, write down anyways. Okay? What I want you to do, when you come up for communion, there's a basket down there. Simply lay those there. At some point this week, not today because I'm not prepared to do it today, but at some point this week, they're never going to get looked at. They're just going to be in that basket. Sometime this week, I will burn them. I will let them be prayers rising up to God from your hearts to God's ears. So I'll let that be the thing. But if you've got grief, share that grief. And the other reality of this, as we move from sorrow into joy, you might have something you're celebrating. Something you're celebrating that you'd like to lift up to God as well. So be okay. You can write joy that you might have on that piece of paper as well. And you can bring it forward later. So why did I add those verses in this morning? I think there's something so significant in those verses that how could we not share them as part of the gospel this morning? And it's Jesus' words. Jesus' words that say, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? You see, without hearing the words to Martha, then the words and all the events that happen once Mary gets there don't make as much sense, don't have as much meaning, don't have as much power. Because when Jesus arrives at the tomb, we are told that Jesus began to weep. In that moment, Jesus felt the grief that all of those that had gathered were feeling. And Jesus began to weep. This is significant. It's significant because if Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and Jesus is standing in the midst of the grief of this community and he weeps, then don't you believe that when we are grieving, when we are in need, that Jesus weeps with us as well? That Jesus feels the pain that we are feeling and Jesus begins to weep. That in the presence of God, our grief does not last. In the presence of God, our grief can be transformed into promise, into promise that comes to us from God. And so, on this day, Jesus is able to look up to heaven and ask and talk with his Father in heaven and call Lazarus out of the grave. And sometimes we might need somebody to look us in the face, look us in the eyes, and call us out of whatever tomb we've placed ourselves in. That sometimes the grief is so much we'd like to lock ourselves in a dark room and not really listen to it. And so sometimes we need Jesus, who is weeping at the door, to call to us to come out, to come back to life in him. That this grief can bind us and keep us from living holy. And so that's why I'm giving you an opportunity to try to hand over that grief. I told Pastor Tom a couple weeks ago or a week ago, I said, All Saints Day is already a day with lots of ritual. Just the naming of all of those names and hearing the bell toll all of those times, remembering the newly baptized, stirs enough in us. We don't really need anything else. And I said to Pastor Tom, I said, you know what we're going to do this year? We're just going to lean in a little harder. Because I think we're at a moment where we need to let go of the grief we've been carrying in this time of being locked away, being wearing masks, being all of these things, so that hopefully a season of joy can eventually come. Joy in what Christ has promised us, joy in the life that we have been promised. In a couple minutes, we're going to sing a hymn. It's a new hymn for the congregation. But the hymn got me for two reasons. First of all, the hymn is written by Ray McKeever. Ray McKeever was the campus musician when I was in college at Augsburg College. So every Wednesday night, Ray would pull out his guitar and we'd sing Ray McKeever songs. Now, I can't say I ever remember singing this song. I didn't double check the copyright date. Probably was written after I was in college, but who knows. But I just appreciate that time. So I saw it was Ray McKeever, so it all of a sudden got my brain going that I think I need to listen to this. But then when I listened to this song, the line that has stuck with me all week over and over and over again, and I don't even have all the rest of the words memorized yet. But the very last line, death be now, but never last. And to me, those words are the hope given to Mary and Martha at the tomb. Those are the words of hope that are given to each one of us when we are baptized, when we take that first death in the waters of baptism. It's the promise that each one of us is given, that death be now, but never last. It's not the last word. Death doesn't have the last word. Life has the last word. Jesus has the last word. God has the last word. And so I hope in the midst of all that we are feeling as a community, all that we are feeling as a nation, all that we are feeling as a people, that we can hold on to that promise made to us. That death be now, but it will not have the final word. It will never be the last that we experience. Because the last we will experience is that promise we heard in Isaiah, that promise of a feast like no other, the feast with the best wine, the best food, all the best stuff. Death is now, but it will never be the last because Christ has made it so for each of us. Amen.